phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State. This is Carl Bott, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402, and we've got a pretty big show this morning. We're going to have Congressman Wally Herger join us here in about 5 or 6 minutes via phone from D.C., and then we're going to talk about this, what's going on with this economic crisis or non-crisis, bailout, non-bailout. And we're going to let the congressman explain his vote, why he did it, and what he sees for here in the future. So the phone lines here are 221-1402. So, you know, you can line up right now if you want to. Just remember, one big rule, you be civil. If you're not civil, off you go. The other thing is be short, think in sound bites, and come on in and ask the question and let him answer it. And we'll move and we'll keep moving, get as many people on here as we can that want to ask the congressman a question, because it's not all going to be about economics. We've already had phone calls this morning, people talking about other items that interest them that Congressman Herger is working on. All right. I'm, of course, joined by my producer, wearing red in his usual hat of brown with kind of like berry stains on it, my producer, Kelly Frost, Jr.
I do ramble in the woods.
You ramble in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, in fact, I went hiking.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. I did notice is how the ladies that were here from the Mental Illness Institute that were talking to you afterwards, I don't know if they took your name or anything, but they seem to be enamored with you, Kelly.
A lot of people are.
They're very much into ramblers.
And of course, I'm joined by my partner. Linda Bott.
And yes, it's a big day. This is really, we were hoping that Wally Herger was going to show up in the studio today. He was scheduled to be here.
He was scheduled to be there.
And then, of course, his job is to be in Washington at this time of crises. And also, how wonderful to have our congressman on the phone with us today. And I'm sure the calls, we had very passionate callers yesterday, so...
We're ready. We're ready. And, you know, then there's been a lot of things written, a lot of changes, you know, a lot of finger pointing. That's what I don't like. You know, oh, gosh, you know, and I'll tell you, you know, Nancy Pelosi comes out on Sunday and says, hey, this is a Republican got us into this. Well, that's not true, Nancy. Anybody that's got any common sense at all can read this. This goes back into the 90s and starting under the Clinton administration. Yeah, you know, there's plenty of heat that you can give to all people that are in Congress right now.
Lots of blame to go around.
Lots of blame. And then there's been a lot of letters and phone calls today in the opinion page on the Searchlight and from the Reading Searchlight. And it says, Herger rightly goes against public opinion. That's an interesting concept there. Because as the congressman will talk about, they've gotten a lot of phone calls. Look at the front page of the Reading Searchlight today. I know it's going to be hard, and go online and look at it. All right, this is Carl Bott here at 1400 KQMS, Free Fire Radio. Our phone lines here are 221-1402, and after this break, the congressman should be joining us here. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. Congressman Herger.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
I bet you've had a busy couple of days here.
I've had about as busy a couple of days as I've ever had.
Well, I can tell you right now is that the phone lines are lit up, and I'm sure that we're going to start on them as soon as we talk with you for a couple of minutes. Congressman, tell us about what happened Sunday and Monday on the on this vote. Sir? Is he on here? Congressman?
Hello?
Oh, okay, sir. We're back again. There's something going on with our phones out there in the front. I'm sorry. Could you talk to us about what's going on with the vote Sunday and Monday?
Yes, I sure can. First of all, the lead up to the vote on Sunday on Monday is we began getting information last week that we had a potential and I'm just going to spell it out, meltdown that could cause our banking system to have the same type of problems that we saw back in 1929, where there was such a scare that banks would be unable to loan money, make money available, even money that people had in them, to be able to ensure that our local businessmen were able to meet their payrolls, that our farmers would be able to make the loans that they need to be able to go out and plant and harvest their crops, and that the local citizens, with what money they might have, and see their retirement plans basically collapse. Now, this is, and which would mean put us into a deep recession or worse. So this is the background of what was going on. We had a plan that was presented to us by the administration that was negotiated basically by the Senate on Friday and Thursday, I should say, of last week, that the Republicans in the House could not accept and that I could not accept. It was basically a bailout. It was something that we were concerned that we would not be able to get the taxpayer get our money back.
So the change then was made from there?
The change was made from there. As you recall, the president had the meeting in the cabinet room. Both presidential candidates were there. There was a blow up in that meeting where basically they thought they had an agreement, but basically John McCain said, you know, we don't have an agreement. The Republicans in the House are not going to support this. And that, you might recall, that blew up then, and we went back to drawing something up and meeting over the weekend.
That's right. And then when the Speaker Pelosi was going to bring it out on, I believe, what, on Monday to vote?
That's correct. So then a legislation was drawn up that we felt was much better. It was something that we felt that it would be an investment, not a bailout. It would be something where and again, looking back to what brought this on, is all the subprime loans that were made, much of which was pushed by some of our liberal friends in the House and the Senate, who were basically forcing banks to go in and make loans in areas where people basically could not afford to pay them back.
I understand that. And
so anyway,
I think most,
all of
I think
that
most
was
people
coming
understand
up
that
was
part.
Blowing, right. that was blowing up, and so we wanted a protection from that. And so we felt we were getting that. We were getting something that we would go in, that we could, that the taxpayer, if we were putting in this kind of money, that we would be able to get this money back.
Okay, now I understand is from that was, from what I understand is that it wasn't just money given in, you were like buying shares in the banks and you would have the mortgages as collateral?
Well, no, it was actually that what was negotiated over the weekend is that the Treasury would come in and actually take over these assets.
Okay.
These assets that right now there's no market for. These homes that are out there where there just is no one to buy them at any price. And we know there's a value on them, there just isn't any value right now. That maybe the government would come in and take these over at some price, maybe it would be at 70% of their original value, maybe it would be at 50%. But right now they're not selling at any percent. That we would take over these assets and maybe hold them for 2, 3, maybe up to 5 years until whatever amount of time it took for the market to return, because eventually the market will come back. And then the feeling was with these protections that the taxpayer would recoup this money and even have a potential to make money.
Okay, Congressman, what happened then? I mean, we had not just a majority of Republicans, but also a number of Democrats that voted against this.
Well, what happened is that, again, I feel that this was not presented well by the administration. by everyone involved. It was presented as a $700 billion bailout, which connotes the impression that this money is being given away, and that it was bailing out people who had were in the Wall Street. And for that reason, there was overwhelming, for good reason, overwhelming opposition from the American public, including in Northern California. And basically, it was so strong that this bill went down on Monday. And of course, it didn't help that Speaker Pelosi got up and started off with a very partisan talk against the administration and against Republicans that even shut off more. And so basically the bill failed on Monday.
Well, I tell you what, Congressman, we're going to take a quick break here, and then I've got the phone lines lit up, and as soon as we come back, we're going to start going to our listeners. This is Carl Bott here on Free Fire Radio at News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here. Our guest today is Congressman Herger. Let's go to the phones. Glenn, good morning.
Hello?
Glenn.
Yes, hello, Glenn.
Hello, Congressman. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's still morning there.
Yep, it's 11:22 back here.
Well, okay. I'm Glenn Dye, chairman of the Save Killark Committee. Now, this is not of the magnitude of the national problems, which we are confident you are working to correct, but is important to the local stakeholders. I have written to you several times about this 104-year-old facility, and we want to thank you for your support. You brought FERC out here to talk to us, and we're continuing to pursue the activity. Now, you may recall PG&E is scheduled to present FERC in March of 09, a plan to destroy one of the finest recreation facilities in California. They have been allocated $10.4 million of ratepayer money to decommission it, and now the estimate's gone up to $14.5 million. Now, Killark on Old Cow Creek has not affected the environment, the ecology, or the anadromous fish, which is a issue with California Fish and Game.
Glenn, what would you like the congressman to do for us out here?
Well, what I'd like him to do, and yeah, I could go through this all day, but you don't have that.
Yeah,
kind of
we
time.
Just got a couple minutes here, Glenn. So let's.
We would like to see a reconvening of the agencies that made the decision to destroy Killark.
Okay.
There were no stakeholders present for that meeting. So it happened before we even knew it occurred. They made a decision, and we're not backing up on it.
Okay, Congressman?
Well, Glenn, I'm one of the biggest supporters of reservoirs, of hydroelectric. It's clean. It's inexpensive. Plus that, how much our community is hurt economically in every way when we lose recreation areas. So I'm completely on your side. The challenge we have, of course, as you know, is with our radical environmentalists and the problems we have with recommissioning these hydro plants and making them work. So I'm certainly dedicated to continuing to work with you in this area, but as you know, this is a challenge we're having all over the West as we're trying to recommission these reservoirs.
Yes, I understand that, and we appreciate what you have been doing for us.
Glenn, we've got to be moving on. Thank you so much for your call, and I'm sure if you call a congressman's office out here that they'll be able to follow this up.
I've talked to Dave Huer.
Very good. We'll continue working with you on it, Glenn.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Line three. Norm, good morning.
Semper Fi, Carl.
Semper Fi.
And Congressman, let me make this real quick. I used to be an investment banker
before
I transplanted up to your district. And so I look at this from a different perspective, and I, didn't see any language in the bill that you voted for that would really protect us. And what I mean by that is, if you issue $700 billion in debt, then you issue treasury bonds to pay for that. That's going to increase interest rates because there'll be so much debt flooding into the market at the same time. So if interest rates go up, some of these people that are, you know, marginally hanging on with their current mortgages that aren't, you know, subprime and not in default, don't they go into default also? So, you know, it almost looks like by doing this, the Wall Street people kind of get, you know, off the hook on their current problem, but you put the rest of Main Street on risk because you'll have rising interest rates. What in the bill could change that situation?
Well, there's no pretty way out of this, no matter how we do it, Norm, as you know. Our goal is not to help Wall Street. I believe everyone who's made investments there should lose their investments. Our concern, as I think you're probably aware, is what it does to the banking system and our ability to loan and locking up assets where banks are unable to loan here and begin raising rates or not having rates at all at the local level. And that's a concern. But I think what you're mentioning is absolutely true. These are problems, and no matter what we do, even if this passes, we're going to have a rocky time for the next several years, no matter what happens. My concern is that we not have a situation where, which is what we're basically, those who are talking to us back here in Washington, the concern is that we could, if we don't act in a proper way that ensures that local banks continue to be able to have the assets to be able to continue making loans and making money available to small businesses and others.
But is there
that the repercussions will not just be that the interest rates will go up, which it appears they probably will, but there won't be any money at any rate.
But is there anything that guarantees that these bankers, once they, and I was one, so I was a blood-sucking banker, so is there any chance that you give me this money, I turn around and instead of providing liquidity to the market by putting out more loans and stuff, I say, you know, I got burned that way. I'm just going to go ahead and buy these new treasuries that are being issued. So I'm sitting on, you know, treasury bonds that are yielding a whole lot of interest. The government's stuck with these bad loans, and I, the taxpayer, have to work real hard to pay the interest to these treasury bonds. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't see any language in there that guarantees that money actually flows to Main Street, and that these people just don't turn around and buy treasury bonds, which are safer.
Hey, Congressman, we've got to take a quick break, so you're going to have a couple minutes to think about this while we do. And, Norm, those are great questions, and Congressman's going to address that, especially the part about, you know, what's our protection. I think he started on this, but we want to finish this after our break. This is Carl Bodden, Free Fire Radio here on 1400 KQMS, and the phone lines are backed up. Keep trying, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. And this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Congressman, the last question was, are there safeguards built into here to make sure is that the bankers don't go out and use this money for something besides providing liquidity for mortgage loans?
Let me just say that Norm brought out some very good, pertinent points.
We got some great listeners up here, I tell you what, Congressman.
Well, we have the best constituents in the world. But anyway, Norm brought out some very good points. Let me just make a couple comments. No matter what we do, we have a very troubled times we're in. There is not an easy way out of this. And again, there's no use going back into what it is. We made loans to people who basically can't afford to pay them back. And so what? And everything Norm said is undoubtedly going to happen. We can look at probably inflation. We can look at probably interest rates going up. I think, I hate to say it, but I think that's almost a given that that's going to happen. What we're looking at is a lesser of several evils here. That's one thing we can look at happening. The other thing we can look at happening is see the entire economy completely lock up, as it did potentially in 1929. That is what we're working not to have happen. Now, the only thing I might that I agree with basically everything Norm said. But the one point I want to say, what do we have in as far as safeguards for the taxpayer? Here's what we've done with this. Number one, we don't go out with $700 billion all at once. We go out a couple hundred, $250 billion to begin with, and he's absolutely right. This is money we don't have. It's going to have to be borrowed. But what we're doing is not giving this to these Wall Street bankers. What we're doing is acquiring, the taxpayer will be acquiring their assets. Some of these assets aren't worth anything. Most of the assets are worth something. And the idea is to hold these assets until the market returns. It may be two, it may be three, it may, you know, who knows, it may be 5 years. And when the market returns, which eventually it will, then we can resell these and hopefully recoup our money, recoup our $250 billion. The idea is to go up as high as $700 billion, not all at once, but to recoup this and work our way out of this incredible economic challenge that we find ourselves in. That's what the goal is.
Okay, Congressman, let me go back to our listeners here. Jose, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for waiting.
Thank you. Congressman, my question is real simple, and it considers the CEOs and the big guys of these banks and offices and everything, they're golden umbrellas and they're big salaries that they get every year and the big raises they get. What's going to happen to? Are they going to be continuing to get those things and their umbrellas is going to be there for them when they retire, quit, or whatever?
Jose, thank you for bringing this up. One of the great outrages we have is one thing in the free enterprise system and the free market. If you go out, if you do really well in our country, you have the opportunity to either lose a lot or gain a lot. Now, we've seen a number of these CEOs that have gained these incredibly huge salaries. Now, part of what's been written into this and bonuses, and part of what's been written into this legislation is that there will be, you hear about the golden umbrella, is that these companies that have lost money, who had the opportunity to make a lot, these CEOs will not be able to come up with all this money that they did before, particularly if they're losing money. And so that is part of what has been written into this legislation is to prevent that.
So I think what Jose is that the people that got us into this and the CEOs are not going to get all that money they thought they were
going
to get.
That's right. I mean, there's a lot of people who are going to lose a lot of money. And again, they could have made money, and many of them did make money. And the whole part of our capital system is that you have an opportunity to do well, but you also have an opportunity to lose. And there are these Wall Street bankers that are going to be losing a lot. The investors are going to be losing a lot. What we're working to do is ensure that the citizens in Shasta County and the citizens around our nation and in our district, that we don't inadvertently see our banks lock up where we're unable to have our employers be able to pay us because they can't get even short-term loans. This is what we're working to do and do it in a way that we can come back in a few years and resell these assets that we'll be acquiring. Again, this is not giving this money away. What these up to $700 billion, which starts at $250 billion, will be going in and acquiring and taking over these assets.
Which we're going to sell later, we hope, when it goes back.
We will then sell later. And there's many economists think that we could actually make money. Now, let me say we had something not the same, but somewhat similar, those of us who remember the 80s and the savings and loans, where we did. Again, it wasn't the same, but it was somewhat similar. We went in and took over assets then. We almost broke even on that, and the goal is to, again, ultimately break even, or it would be nice if we made money, but the idea is that
anytime
the taxpayer will get their money back.
Anytime our government can almost break even, it's pretty good. Okay, let's go to line one here. Dale, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for waiting.
Herder. I haven't heard a single thing in any of the discussions on CNN or in the program today even about the issue that the large financial institutions, all of their assets that we as American citizens are being asked to come up and try to cover their losses here, are only based upon what in the financial markets is termed the first tier and second tier assets, which are small business, residential, mortgage type situations. The large banks, Lehman, and even down to the local banks, are not being forced to disclose their third tier assets, which when they start to devalue are going to be three times as much as what we're being asked to bail out on the mortgage, home mortgage stuff. Last numbers that were disclosed to the SEC and to the banking committee was about $7 trillion in these undisclosed assets that are undoubtedly going to be devalued when they have to disclose them. Are you going to force them to disclose this before the American people are asked to bail these people out?
Thank you, Dale.
Dale, let me just say, we're just beginning to get into this, to begin to unravel this incredible mess that we've been working our way into for the last several years. And certainly your question is a good one, and I don't really have an answer to that, but it's something we're going to be unraveling. I might mention this, what we're doing here to try to go in and acquire these assets. This is, someone said that this is not the beginning of the end. This is the end of the beginning. We're just starting this. We're going to have to go in and we have regulations that were made for the 20th century that have not been kept up with the changes in the way things are bundled with so many different things that are going on today, and that we need some major reforms in the system. And it isn't necessarily just having regulations for the sake of regulations. We have some regulations that aren't working. And we have other. We need some regulations that again will keep up with exactly the question that you have to ensure that we don't. Number one, we have to take care of the problem we have now, and then we have to come up and answer the type question that you're asking to see that this doesn't happen again.
Okay, Congressman, we have to take a quick break here. This is Carl Bott on Free Fire Radio here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines are backed up. Just join us on the other side, and a congressman will get to you as soon as we can. Okay, this is Carl Bob. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. You know, people, give us your question, I cut you off then so the congressman can answer it so we can get in the next one. We had another question here from the studio. Was, Congressman, can't legislation be written so the banks just have to rewrite the loan guarantees for these mortgages, drop the mortgage rates, change it so people don't lose their houses?
Well, you talk about dropping. I mean, anything can be done, but we talk about dropping mortgage rates. You know, one of the problems, I'm afraid, Carl, is that the mortgage rates, some of them are too low now. There were some of these subprime loans that were basically, some of it was a good idea. Try to help everyone or as many people as you can own a home who can't afford a home. And that was something that was pushed about 10 years ago. The problem is we've gone too far on that. We've gone out and there are people out there with these subprime loans.
Negative amortization, where they actually
can't afford them. And then when the loans go from 4.5% up to 7 or 8%, and now when homes begin going down, they're out of it. That's the problem.
Yeah. I tell you what, sir.
And, you know, just going back to what Dale, our last caller, said, I think a lot of what he was saying, mentioned a few things that probably most people don't understand, but basically what he was saying is that we need transparency. We need to be able to see what's out there, what these loans are, so that we can more easily evaluate their worth. And that's our big problem now. No one knows exactly what all these bundled loans are worth.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Okay, let's go to the phones. Edith, good morning.
Hello, are you there?
Edith?
Yes, hello.
Hi there. Hey, well, I'm just calling because I keep hearing about these subprime loans and these subprime loans and how everybody's blaming the foreclosures on the subprime loan issue. I'm just wondering about where are the people that ran out of income? A two-family income that maybe had $200 or $300 of give, and they were doing all right when they bought their home, and they did great for, let's say, 4 or 5 years. They didn't get a subprime loan. They're holding on to what they originally started with. But gas went up, cost of living went up, everything's gone up. Now their buffer that was $200 to $300 a month is now nothing. Now all of a sudden they've got to either make their mortgage, make a car payment, or make a credit card payment. Well, they make their mortgage because that's more important to them, but they missed two or three of their credit cards. Now they were in good credit financial situation with, let's say, 0, 1, 2% on their cards. All of a sudden, the credit card company sends them a note and says, guess what? Your bill that was $30 is now $235 a month. Now what? Their credit goes in the hole, and either they try and save their credit because, you know, credit cards are supposed to be important, they let their house slip. So what happens to the people that just ran out of income and didn't have a way of making any more, that never got into this subprime debacle, that never tried to cheat on a mortgage, that did it up front with the 20% down and a good credit rating?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've seen energy costs escalate, particularly in the rural area where we drive so much more than they do in the cities. We've seen food prices go up a lot because of this, I think, misdirected ethanol thing for the Midwest that's helped drive food prices up. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we're in the problem we are. And I might also mention, just in defense of subprime loans, it's not all subprime loans that we're having a problem with. There's probably only about 75% of subprime loan people are making their payments, but there are enough of those out there, of those that aren't making it, and maybe not people so much in the category that you're referring to, but maybe some that probably weren't able to hardly make it to begin with. And when these subprime loans go from the 4.5%, all of a sudden they jump up to 7% or 8% or more, that's when they're really hit. But you're saying is part of the problem that we're in now.
Well, I thought of it as, Congressman, is what I believe Edith was saying. It was a good call, Edith, is that, hey, these are people that played the game right. They had their job, you know, they were paying their mortgages, they were paying everything. Then the economy started to tank. And then because of the cost of the mortgage, now it's hurting them, because even though they're making their mortgage payments, other things are catching. Is there any type of protection for these people?
I wish I had a good answer. And Edith, you're probably describing most of the citizens of Northern California that fall into that.
Yeah.
I have my wife tell me about that. You know how much these things, I mean, this is something that to one degree or another, depending on how serious it is happening in virtually every family in America today.
Yeah. Okay. Chelsea, good morning.
Good morning. My question, I mean, it's more of an advice question, I'd assume, Congressman. I'm 21 years old. Most of my friends are in my age bracket. A lot of my friends are still living with their parents because we can't afford to go and rent an apartment or whatever. I thought I was one of the lucky ones that was able to get out of my parents' house. Now me and my roommate are literally choosing between putting food in our fridge or putting gas in our cars. And this economic crash that seems to be looming and dooming over us is scaring the crap out of those of us who are not necessarily responsible for it, but our parents are the ones that got the bad mortgages. Our parents are the ones that did it. What can you say to those of us young adults who are scared out of our minds, who can't find a job, who are qualified? I qualified for a state job that they can't give me because the state's on a hiring freeze. I qualified for a county job. I can't get that. So all these things is I'm qualified to be an outstanding American citizen, and I can't. What would you say to those of us who are young adults and struggling?
Thank you, Chelsea.
Well, you know, what can I say? I wish I had something super profound to say. All I can say is, you know, what all of us have to do when the going gets tough, the tough get going, And I wish there were a magic, a golden bullet out there, something, a magic wand we could wave. We're experience what the history books tell us happens periodically since the beginning of time, is that we have great prosperity time, which we have had for a number of decades now, and we're beginning to experience some of the tough times that I remember growing. Now, I wasn't around for the Depression, but I certainly heard my parents talk about it. I grew up in the 1950s and the 1960s when, you know, everybody had one car. I mean, you struggled to get, somehow you got by. You didn't live really well, but you got by. And I think that, number one, Edith, let me just say, we're going to make it. You know, the we have an incredible people as Americans, but I think we need to gear for, not that doomsday is coming, but that is a time when we're all going to have to tighten our belts and reappraise what we're doing and keep going, and you know, the sun comes out again.
You know, we've got to take a quick break here, Congressman, but Chelsea, you know, it's that time when everybody is going to tighten up, you know, so maybe you have to widen your net about where you want to go to and the things you want to do. But the congressman's right, is that this country is a great country, and we will come back. But it's tight for everybody, and so now we just got to keep moving forward. Now, we got a quick break here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. The phone lines are backed up. I'll get to you as soon as I can. Okay, this is Carl Bob. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We just got a few minutes left. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Linda and Congressman. I have two questions, if I can. One is kind of a personal nature to the county here, and the other one is about the economy. Congressman Herger, we have a major asset here in Shasta County that we're in threat of losing. It's Channel 11, our public education and government peg station. It's being threatened with closure due to lack of economic support by the city, county, state, fed, and Charter Communications, who is in contract with us. We would really like to have you intercede on our behalf, on behalf of the people of Shasta County, and help us keep this really important public forum open. That's my request from you. About this bailout, I really would like to state my position that I'm totally against it. I think that the bailout is a defeat of capitalism as our system of economics in this country. Capitalism dictates that businesses that should fail do fail, that loans that are badly placed fail, that people who don't manage their economy fail. We need to let the country settle under its capitalistic buildup and let the events happen as they will. Bailing it out really addresses it in a socialistic manner, and I think it's totally wrong and against the precepts of our country.
Thank you, John.
Okay.
Congressman.
But, John, I wish you the best on Channel 11. I'm not just sure what I can do to help there. But let me just say, your comments on the market system, I could not agree more. Those who need to fail need to fail. The idea of what we're doing here, though, again, I kind of don't look at it as a bailout because I don't like bailouts. I don't like any bailout. What I am concerned about is that we have the capital in the system, that we make sure that it doesn't spread down to Reading and to our local areas where local banks are not able to, where we see them close up or they're not able to make loans to keep payrolls going and to keep basic functions happening in our local community. That's my concern. I completely agree with you totally on the idea that there are a lot of firms, a lot of New York firms and on Wall Street and other places that have not been run properly, and they deserve to fail, and they need to fail so that we get more competitive firms in that make the system work better. So I basically agree with you completely. I just feel at this time we need to go in and acquire some assets that we can sell back at a later time to keep the system from moving into a 1929 type of problem.
You know, Congressman, what I'd like to say, and again, we've got to go to the phones here in a second, but I want to tell you is how much we appreciate the fact you're on here. This is not an easy time for you either. I mean, people, as you can tell, are a little bit upset about everything that's going
no,
on.
No, they're not a little bit upset. They're more upset than I've ever seen anybody in my life just about, for good reason.
And for good reason, Congressman. You know, there's a lot of, Chelsea said it, you know, there's a lot of us, you know, a lot of people out there say, what the heck's going on here? And I do want to get these more phones, but I do appreciate the fact you've come on and you are trying to explain this. And you are standing up for that.
As soon as we finish here, I'll be out in the district where I'll be able to see people personally. But, Carl, this has been about the fastest hour I've seen. But
well, I tell you
it's
what,
great to be with you. Thank you very much for inviting me on your show.
Okay, we've got a couple more phone calls, so let's try and get to at least one more here. Good morning.
Hello?
Gene?
Yes.
Okay.
In tune with what the last caller said, my problem with this whole thing, the financial bailout, as it's been referred to, is having to do with trust. Everything, you know, this has all come about because of some decisions by people in the Senate and Congress and on the Democratic side. And what's going to happen, and now we're asking, you guys are all asking us to trust you guys to make it right. And when you screwed it up in the first place. Nothing that the government has handled, welfare, health care, all the rest of them, have ever gone to the right direction. They just get wound way out of sight, and the taxpayers pay for it.
Hey, Gene, I'm running out of time. Is there a question to this?
Or no.
Okay, you just, you know what? That's what this show is great about.
God bless you, Gene. I mean, I will say on welfare, though, while the Republicans were chairman, and I was actually a subcommittee chairman, we reduced welfare rolls by 62% here in the late, early, to just a few years ago. Okay. But you're absolutely right. Government does not run any program well. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I tell you what, Congressman, you know, and for all of our listeners out there, I'm so sorry because the lines are all backed up again, but we've about run out of time. I know that there's a tough election coming up, and this economic crisis coming on like this, and for all the incumbents, ain't the best thing in the world.
It sure isn't. But again, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. We have a great country, great people. We're going to make it through this.
Well, come on up and see us sometime, Congressman, because we got to have you up here.
I'm going to be up there soon.
All right, sir.
As soon as we get through here in Washington, I'll be right out. As Dorothy said, there's no place like home.
All right. Thanks a lot, Congressman.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Carl Bott here at Free Fire Radio at 1400 KQMS. Go to our website, freefireradio.com, and just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?